Only half of students who learn entirely online are ready to advance to the next grade. Half. And a higher percentage of students learning online were either students of color, female students, or special education students.
The kids that really need those supports really need to be in school. Having those students elect for a remote learning experience is just kind of compounding some of the educational quandaries, academic quandaries that we really need to curtail.
Michael Connor is the superintendent of the Middletown Public School System. He says a hybrid learning model is better at preparing students to move on to the next grade, better than remote learning.
This is also the conclusion of a new report from the education nonprofit RISE Network. It finds that about 3/4 of hybrid students were passing enough classes to move on. However, only about 2/3 of Connecticut students are getting this teaching model. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut-New York region.
Coming up, COVID sweeps through Suffolk Police Dispatch Office, amendments that could change the way Connecticut residents vote, and New York nursing home residents can soon have visitors. I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone.
Connecticut Secretary of State Denise Merrill wants lawmakers to support a constitutional amendment that would allow for early voting and no-excuse absentee ballots. WSHU's Ebong Udama reports.
Merrill testified before the Government Administration and Elections Committee. She told lawmakers the pandemic has shown that Connecticut voters need early voting and no-excuse absentee ballots, just like voters in 43 other states.
Early voting and expanded access to absentee ballots without an excuse are common sense, voter-centric reforms that have wide support across the country.
Merrill says polls show 79% of Connecticut voters support early voting and 73% support no-excuse absentee ballots. The early voting amendment passed the General Assembly in 2019. It now needs to pass again this year by a simple majority to make it onto the ballot in 2022. The no-excuse absentee ballot amendment is being voted on for the first time. It needs to pass by a 75% supermajority to make the ballot next year. Some Republicans say they're concerned about voter fraud and won't support the amendments. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Suffolk County's emergency call center was already stretched thin when a post-holiday outbreak of COVID-19 swept through the department, infecting nearly a third of its workers. That's according to records obtained by WSHU.
In a plea to lawmakers, a 911 operator wrote that the unit was crumbling. Overtime was required almost every day. The person wrote, quote, "We're tired, burnt out, getting sick, and there's no end in sight."
It's just a very, very mentally grueling job that they do over there. And it is very hard to keep people in there.
Ben Tremonte is a vice president of Suffolk's Association of Municipal Employees. He says the underlying problem is the high staff turnover. Right now, about 15% of the positions are vacant.
Outside of hiring above the normal amount of numbers for each of those positions that you would normally have, it's really, you know, that's really the only way to alleviate, you know, people having to be mandated for overtime at certain shifts.
Tremonte says that the police department is looking for new ways to hire and train dispatchers. In a statement, Suffolk Police said that they will soon begin hiring outside the normal civil service process. The person who went to lawmakers for help asked for plexiglass dividers to be installed in the communication center. So far, only shower curtains have been installed. The police department's statement said dispatchers work in cubicles and are required to wear masks. According to data provided by the department, infections had been kept low until the holidays. Coming up, new visitation rules for families of nursing home residents in New York, but first headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Connecticut's 7-day COVID-19 positivity rate held steady at 2.5%. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says the state will continue its age-based vaccine eligibility. Starting next week, residents older than 55 will be eligible, and on March 22nd, residents over 45 will be eligible for the vaccine.
For the first time, the 7-day positive rate on Long Island and in New York are about the same. Historically, Long Island has had a higher rate. Some vaccines that were distributed at the mass vaccination site at Jones Beach on February 15th were stored at the wrong temperature and are ineffective. Health department officials are contacting individuals who are affected. There is no additional health risk for an ineffective shot.
Connecticut's chief medical examiner has completed its report on the death of Anthony Shea, founder of the online retailer Zappos. They ruled the death an accident. The examiner's office concluded that Shea died from complications of smoke inhalation. Police believed he locked himself in a shed after an argument with the property owner, who was a close friend of his. The New London fire marshal recently ruled that the cause of the fire was undetermined.
After a decade of delays, the Bridgeport Port Jefferson Ferry Company is a step closer to relocating to a larger terminal location on the Bridgeport side. The State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection announced a 30-day comment period for a new permit for a future location across the channel. The city of Bridgeport rejected the move back in 2010, saying that moving the ferry further from downtown businesses and the train station would be bad. By 2014, opposition had dissipated, and approval was granted. Construction will take up to 5 years.
Residents of nursing homes in New York will be able to receive visitors again starting this Friday, February 26th, under new rules laid out by Governor Andrew Cuomo and state health officials. Karen DeWitt has more.
State officials had delayed reopening the nursing homes, closed to visitors since last March, until all of the residents were offered a chance to take the vaccine. 73% of residents have now agreed to receive both doses. 15,000 elderly residents of nursing homes and other long-term adult care facilities died of COVID-19 in the pandemic, the vast majority of them alone. The new visitation rules will vary depending on the rate of the virus in the county where the nursing home is located. State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker says in counties where the rate of the virus is less than 5%, visitors to nursing homes do not have to be tested, although testing is encouraged. In counties where the rate of infection is between 5 and 10%, visitors would have to undergo testing and show a negative test result within 72 hours before they go to the home. Visitors to nursing homes will continue to be banned in counties where the virus rate is 10% or higher, or in any facility where someone has contracted COVID within the past 14 days. Zucker says exceptions will be made for visitors who have received the vaccine themselves.
If a visitor has had two vaccines and has been 14 days since their second vaccine and they're still within 90 days of that second dose for the vaccine, then there's probably no need for a test. However, we encourage it to test anyway.
He says that's because vaccines might not prevent the asymptomatic spread of the virus, even in someone who has received both doses. In all homes and adult care centers, no more than 20% of the residents can receive visitors at any one time, and the homes are encouraged to set up separate rooms for visits. Masks and social distancing are required at all times. The announcement comes as welcome news to families who have waited more than 11 months to see their relatives in nursing homes, but others say the changes come too late. Senator Pam Helming, a Republican from Canandaigua, says she recently lost two relatives in nursing homes. She says while they did not die directly from COVID, she, like thousands of relatives of other nursing home residents, believed that social isolation led many frail elderly New Yorkers to decline, both mentally and physically.
The cause of death on my last loved one? Failure to thrive.
Helming says she is extremely thankful that visits can resume, but she says the months-long delay will not bring back people who she believes might otherwise have lived.
It's too late, and I have to wonder, Could we have saved the lives of people? Could we have at least, at the very least, reunited families and loved ones if the legislature had a say in these decisions that are being made?
Helming, along with all of the minority party Republicans in the legislature, intended to vote for a hostile amendment. It would rescind Cuomo's emergency powers under the pandemic. Many Democrats also back immediate revocation of the sweeping authority granted to the governor by the legislature last year, but Democratic majority leaders are working toward a plan that would instead curb the powers by appointing an Oversight Commission to review emergency orders. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
As always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news at WSHU.org.
I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you.